I'm Divya Shekhar, and this is From the Bookshelves of Forbes India. What does the word Bharat mean to you? For our guest on today's show, the word Bharat has, for many years now, represented what he calls the ignored billion. These are people, he says, that are still largely left out of the digital revolution in the country. Venture investors are mostly wary of them, and businesses stay away as they do not see profit in solving for them. Our guest, Nagaraja Prakasam, is an angel investor, and we'll be discussing life lessons he shared for Indian entrepreneurs in his new book, Back to Bharat, In Search of a Sustainable Future. Mr. Prakasam is a partner at Acumen, a New York-based $100 million impact venture fund. He is the co-founder and chairman of the Native Lead Foundation, which works to back entrepreneurs in the non-metros of Tamil Nadu. He is credited for initiating impact-driven thinking at the Indian Angel Network, or IAN, and has co-founded IAN Impact. Over the years, Mr. Prakasam has backed various organizations in his quest to support entrepreneurship for social impact, including Sahas, a waste management company, Go Co-op, an online marketplace for weavers and artisans, and Climate Masters, a climate tech startup in the bio-CNG space. Welcome to the show, Mr. Prakasam.
Yeah, pleasure to be here, yes.
So listeners, before we start asking him questions about his book, I want to share a small story. Nagaraja Prakasam grew up in a small town called Manamadurai in Tamil Nadu. It was a beautiful town, he says, where he used to walk to school crossing the Vaigai River along the way. His mother was a class 10 graduate but knew the importance of education, and so she read a lot of books. This encouraged young Nagaraja, then in the 5th grade, to pick up some of these books and try to read them all by himself. He grew up reading books about Indian heritage and history. But as life would have it, he soon became busy chasing his dreams and eventually moved to the US for higher studies. Mr. Prakasam is an engineer by qualification and has done his MBA also in the US. While living there, one day, a conversation with a young woman changed the course of his life and set him on a career path that would see him come back to India and help social entrepreneurs here to scale and create meaningful impact. I'll let him tell you the rest of the story in his own words. Mr. Prakasam, what was that conversation that changed your life?
You are a typical middle class and education is only way out. So you study, went to US, study, and you got a job, you settled, that's it. But when I was in US, we're all longing for a desi food. So I went to the Diwali Mela where we had, nice food. And I saw this place called Association for India's Development, AID. And a young lady there said, can you put a pin to the place you're from? I put a pin on Madurai. And she started talking about Aravind Eye Hospital and what a great model it was and how it is impacting a lot of, lives and stuff. It was a big, awakening as well as a big slap in my face that my mom, went to Aravind for a cataract. But we have no idea what the model is. So, and it gave me a fantastic, eye-opening experience about the ignorance of what we are about, what is happening in the country, right? Otherwise, you are a typical middle class focused on education, settling life and all that stuff. So that day onwards, all my weekends are all gone for AID. We have this community service hour. We meet, discuss problem. That time, this Odisha, cyclone happened. We raise funds supporting this people who are affected. And at the same time, we didn't have much money those days. So we go to football games, sell Coke and hot dogs and raise money, arrange music concerts. So this gave me a great learning as well about the problem as well as how to solve that, right? You have an opportunity to interact with the fantastic people like Medha Patkar, Aruna Roy, who's behind RTI today in India. And then people like, Abhay Bang, who got Padma Shri, and recognition last year for their work in Gachibowli. And these are all fantastic learning. We argue with them about the model development. And the aid gave an amazing experience as well about bringing technology, right? We from my engineering background, the movie Swadesh, it's based on AID. The hydroelectric power plant, the village is built. We have designed that in San Diego. We supported them with funding and the village has built it themselves. So how a village without electricity got electricity with their own work. I think that's a nice learning about how tech can be utilized in solving local problems, and also how locals can solve their own problem instead of waiting at the mercy of someone else.
So, Mr. Prakasam, you came back to India in 2006 and continued climbing the corporate ladder with your role at CDC Software, where you were also the president of South and Southeast Asia. When the company was sold in 2012, you had an option to relocate to Singapore, but you decided, and I quote, that you were done running. Could you take us through this time?
I said, I'm done running around. So, you know, went back to my wife, said, let's figure out something else. And then I enjoyed the 8 days. I started looking at what can we do with the aid. I saw that a few set of people went into politics. They want to fix the problem within. And many of my friends have joined them. And the other side, we have people took up extreme activism. They start solving the problem through activism. So that's a very interesting side I've seen. But long career in corporate, building a company from 40 million to 400 million, I thought, can we bring the efficiency of a corporate and the heart of an NGO? Can we marry this both and it can do good? So that's what I thought of this word social business. But a friend of mine introduced Jacqueline Novogratz, and who had a similar idea, started Acumen Fund. She was working in Rockefeller in Africa, came with a similar thought about aid versus trade. So if you give a 1 rupee to a nonprofit, and you'll get a 1 rupee worth of impact. But if you invest in a 1 rupee in the similar service, you can get the money back that can keep rotating forever. So wherever possible, this is, we can try that. Not everything can be a nonprofit. Not everything could be a business, but can we do a combination of that? So I had, visited some of the project. Then I came back to my wife, said, I think this looks very interesting. You know, we should probably figure out how do we manage. She put an Excel sheet, said, this is my basic. Don't touch it. Do whatever you want. Right. So that's when we said no more running around. I called myself retired at 41, but my wife never believed that because I do more work than I call it. Maybe, I don't work for money. Money does the work for me. So Acumen is a nonprofit. So I become a partner. So if in a VC fund, you invest, you are an LP called limited partner. And in a VC fund, which is nonprofit, you invest, but you won't get anything back. So that, Acumen gave me an amazing opportunity to visit some of the projects, right? The one is in Uttarakhand, Kumaon region. From the last railhead in Gadgodam, you go 9 hours of drive, and we reached Pathogarh, where I've told Rajneesh, what a scenic ride we had, with pine trees across. He said, that's a problem I'm solving. It's not native to the, space. And in every year I've been pulling out the pine needle, which kind of killed the entire ecosystem. There's no Himalayan oak cypress anymore, no biodiversity. Pine trees does not flower, does not fruit. So no wildlife possible. So he's been removing pine needle every year and let the ground vacant, open for other things to grow. In 5 years, he had a fantastic ecosystem building up. The pine needle he took out, and he took up a technology from Professor Dasappan, Indian Institute of Science. He put a biomass, create a producer gas, and make electricity. And also the char is sold as a cooking material for the people, so they don't need to venture into forest cutting trees. This is a fantastic experience about how Acumen already did it, what I was thinking. So I visited all their projects and came back to my, team in Indian Angel Network. We all investing in IT companies. I said, let's invest in socially relevant businesses. We start IA in impact. And since then, all my investments are in impact ventures. Yeah.
Okay, so you retired from corporate life at the age of 41 and decided to back social enterprises. What was your thought process like at the time when you committed to that decision? Could you take us through that in a little more detail?
So that's the other part I mentioned in the book as well. So the book also, if you look at, I put my story also. Yeah. Many of my friends will say that, Naga, I want to do what you want to do. But they've been telling me the last 10 years, right? I also said, once you become 65, we all become saint. Religion, you put it, Kashi put a dump in, in the Ganges, yeah. Or in Christianity, go tell the father. So you have a system to confess all I've done. So I said, why can't you do that at 40, right? That's what I was telling Rockefeller, Peggy James, is that, Bill Gates is now is the wealthiest person in the world, but he's sitting in Bihar helping the poor. But he was in a rush to, make all the money. Now he's trying to spend it. So this is a model people want to follow. I said, he need to come and tell that why there is a rush.
Yeah.
While in your young itself, do it properly. You don't need to bulldoze and reach 60 and then look back and say, wow, feel guilty of what I've done. Then, so that's what I put that the choice is ours. We are not entertaining the choice. That's why I put my story as well. Yeah. That when I ran my company, I had a page 3 opportunity. I never went and blow my money on that, right? Or you have your, whether it's house, whether it is a car, we are, spending all this money, then you have to keep on earning for this.
Mm.
So we stopped all that. That helped me to retire at 41. I said, that's done. And to have a simple life, you don't need much money in India. India is a fantastic place.
Right. So in your book, you make a very clear distinction between India and Bharat. And especially from an economic point of view, or say the way of doing business point of view, could you sort of explain this distinction?
Yeah, absolutely. Today in India, we have, utilize this nomenclature of Bharat to represent the majority of it, right? I always say there are 50 million people who speak English in India. There are 25% of India who have a proper internet access, according to UNICEF. During pandemic, they put out a survey saying that, 75% of the household does not have internet, say last 2 years of education. So that means that there's more and more activity, more we read about is all about the 250 million. The rest of this 1+ billion is being ignored. That's why many of my sessions, I talk about ignoring the billion. So that's what I call as Bharat as well. I tell always the entrepreneurs, look at solving problems for Bharat. You're looking solving problems of India, where the problems may be very trivial, but the brilliant minds are always attracted towards solving India's problem, that very less and less people work towards solving Bharat problem. Can we build models that works for Bharat? Because the India, which lives like a Germany or US, which is not a sustainable model, which we've seen from the developed countries like US, Acumen was started from funds from Rockefeller Foundation to support social businesses in emerging economies. After 20 years, first time we have invested in the US. So the poverty is increasing. We see that 1%, 99% movement. There is wealth accumulation happening. The 50% of the world's wealth can be put in a few people who can sit in one bus. So this is the model that India is following, may not be the sustainable one, and because it's creating both inequality as well as climate change. So, but the Bharat is still evolving. So how do we build the Bharat so that we can show the world a sustainable model? And similarly, if you look at the word carbon is also, it's very attractive to me because of what I'm wearing is from GoCoop. It's one of my investment. There are 9 million weavers in the country making 5,000 rupees a month, but this is sustainable fashion. So why do we need to, pay them less? So that's where if Elon Musk could make $1 billion selling carbon credit, what about this 9 million weavers? What about this farmers doing organic farming? Right? If US GDP is 7 times more than India's, whereas their per capita income is 6.8 times more than India. If carbon is a new gold, who's rich? Right? So if you take some tribal person living in this place in Gizcaro Hills or Dantewada, living in a thatched roof house, not even having an electricity, does not have 3 beds and 4 tables like we all have in our rooms, cutting all the trees. So calculate his carbon, my carbon, your carbon, somebody living in London and New York. And carbon is a new gold, he's rich already. So now, but we call him as a poor person, right? We tell him, come out, study like us, and then today, these days, camping has become popular among the rich children. Right? Yeah. They go to a forest in a tent, no electricity, no nothing. So they want to live that experience. But our development says that you go there for 1 week, camping is awesome. But you live there 365 days, you are stupid. Right? Mm-hmm. So who creates this model? What is this meaning of development? Right? So they're living in a resort 365 days. We call them poor. We call them poverty. And they have to learn, come out and all that. So this is where, you know, that part is also the sustainability. If we can give them carbon credit and, you know, celebrate the simple living. Today, we are celebrating the fixers, right? So somebody driving the car and creating pollution, then someone says, I will do electric car, no pollution, you know, and then we reward him with $1 billion of carbon credit. But these people are carbon preventers. So we don't celebrate them. We call them, they're poor. And then that is where the opportunity we have in Bharat, that when we build a sustainable country, so we need to celebrate the simplicity, because Eastern world is always of content and world. But we are following the, you know, Western world of greed is good, right? Whereas our guys like Buddha and Gandhi is talking about everybody's need can be met with what we have, but not the greed. So this is where we have an opportunity. Finally, doing good is getting celebrated, right? Because, you know, we know that the models we followed, which created a problem in the planet as well as in people. But in Bharat, there are thousands of solutions already being practiced, which can help us in building a sustainable future.
A couple of weeks ago, Forbes India came out with a climate edition, as part of which we had also looked at a bunch of climate startups. And one common thing that founders across the board said, that it's very difficult to find a unicorn in this space, unlike, say, fintech or e-commerce, because the issues that they are trying to solve for require a very long gestation period. It's not easy to achieve impact or revenue at scale, which is why perhaps it's taken a long time for the VC ecosystem to invest in these startups. Now, since there is a policy push for biofuels, for example, a lot of VCs are taking interest in that space, and startups working in biofuels are getting higher valuations compared to the past few years. So what is your view of the investment ecosystem for social enterprises in general in India?
Yeah, it's a good, the two points, right? So one is about the longer gestation. It takes quite a bit of time to solve a problem, right? Our acumen, other investment, Gramalia, you know, he was a toilet man of India. He was recognized as, by Padma Shri last year, and he started 35 years back about Swachh Bharat, right? And that's a perseverance required for a social entrepreneur. So I always joke saying that after winning a beauty pageant, you know, you put a tiara on your head and that person will sell, okay, you know, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? Say, I'll save the poor. And she will be in Bollywood next year. But that's what happened with social entrepreneur. They come with the amazing, you know, fervor to just solve a fantastic problem. But, you know, it is a lot of hard work. And they give up too soon. So that is why it's a lot of perseverance required, because the problem you're picking up, you are solving this huge societal problem. It takes a lot of time. So now Damodaran says, my job is done, right? Government picked up Swachh Bharat and they're just following his model, right? And the earlier planning commission visited his project and put it in the report saying that how the toilet should be built. So this government is following the similar one. So that's what I tell social entrepreneur, it does not matter, you know, which government it is. If you follow your purpose and if you're clear, you will get support from all over the place. And Gramalia raised funds from, you know, Matt Damon, the Hollywood, you know, actor who runs his NGO called Water.org. He come in a charter plane to visit Damodaran Ghost. Damodaran sits in NDTV with Amitabh Bachchan, raises money to build toilets. So this is where, you know, I would encourage the social entrepreneurs to have perseverance and stay longer and have an ability to say no, so that you don't have mission drift. Otherwise, they will have, end up having a mission drift, because same thing with all my investment. It takes time for them because they are very, you know, vehemently say no all the time. Go Co-op, for example, people who started similar ideas, you know, they started putting power loop. They started raising VC funding. And Shiva would say, and I call him as a red, you know, Airbus to red bus. He's sitting in a 40 degree centigrade in Odisha and working with the weavers. Whereas somebody can put up Adidas t-shirt and start selling, you know, you can raise funding. So that is where the you know, importance of social business, social entrepreneurs, very relevant. So I categorize Indian startup three categories. The first is the copycat model, the trending sector, what is happening in the US. It could be e-commerce, you know, 10 years back, now it is electric vehicle because, you know, Elon Musk is successful. So the same guy who said asset-light model, he will invest in EV now, right? So because the trending sector is EV. So that sector always has room for one or two players, and there is more attractive. Okay, VC fund is a very high risk investment. people also get attracted to the trending sector because there is already somebody, you know, laid the road. It's easy to ride on it, right? So Elon Musk had all his three ventures failing many, many years back. People thought he was a failure with his space, with his EV, but today he's successful. Today, look at the many VCs coming in India saying that I will do space investment. I will do, you know, EV investment because it's one person succeeded. So this is what happened in the trending first sector. The second sector is about, I caught playing on India's strength, which is problems. And, you know, you apply technology to solve the problems of people. For every Indian pays you 1 rupee, you are a 140 crore company. So this space is where, you know, most of the social businesses are. There are two things happening in the impact investing, right? One is 20 years back when Acumen started, it clearly said, you know, we need to not to have a exit pressure. That means that you need to have a patient capital. So we took the donor dollars that has infinity patients in it. There's no pressure on giving the money back to the investors. So that means that you can take time to solve a simple problem and there is a capital is working for you. But later, there are a lot of people came into the impact space saying that, you know, why impact investing has to be philanthropic money, right? It could be any other VC funding, the only the space is different. So they fail to understand it'll take time because typical VC fund is a 10-year fund. 5 years, 6 year, you invest, 4 year, 5 year, you start getting the money back. So that is why they struggle their model and VC on the impact invest. So I'm very glad today that many of the impact investors who came in the last 10 years plus, they're moving above. They're saying that the 500 million above. Similarly, the VCs, you know, in the top tier, they're coming down saying that I'm next 500 million. So there is a marriage happening in the middle between the mainstream VCs and the impact investors. You know, I always joke whether impact investors become mainstream or mainstream become impact. But you know what the answer is. But I'm very happy today. The bottom 250 million is vacant. So for the real impact investors could come and play the role. And that's when I wrote in Forbes many years back. I said, we need a model that works for Bharat. Today, the VC model, you know, I call it as a Ponzi scheme because you know, we have to wait for the next investor need to come on. And he will come when the growth happens. So when the growth does not happen, the existing investor will push him in for to a mission trip so that he goes on doing something else. Like, you know, Ola copies Uber and Uber sells idli, Ola needs to sell idli.
Yeah. Right?
So there is no combination between cab and idli, but hey, I need to grow the business. Now, you know, people are telling that Ola is a how asset light company is a car, big car company without owning a single car. Today, now they're manufacturing vehicles, right? So that's a confusion happens because of this mission trip. You started on, went on to solve something and did not work. You raise money. You cannot meet the investor expectation. You end up having mission trip. So that's what, you know, it happens in the impact investing as well when you follow the VC model. So I have suggested many years back that we need an exchange where you raise 50 lakhs, 50 crores without the exit pressure. There is no ABC rounds. Whoever wants to sell, if there is a value, sell it. And expectation is very, very low because we have to invite only the investor who believe in the social enterprise, who believe that is a patient's capital. I'm ready to wait longer. I'm ready to wait a 1x, 2x. You know, I'm okay to sit there level.
This was a lovely conversation. Thank you so much for your time, Mr. Prakasam.
Sure. Thanks, Divya. All the best. Bye-bye.
And to all those who are listening to this episode, thank you so much. I hope you liked it. Be sure to leave your feedback. I'm Divya Shekhar. See you next time.